everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
I have come to love in this beautiful world.
Welcome back, boys. This is another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. You know who it is. My name's Ja. And we are doing another installment of our Sleeper and Drop series. So if you guys aren't familiar, every week I do an episode where I go over some of my favorite sleepers available on most of your waiver wires. And I also discuss some prospects and some players who I think you guys should probably go ahead and get rid of. If not, and let me actually rephrase that. I don't mean you need to drop them this week. Just think of these guys on their final warning, right? So we're waiting to see what they do this weekend. If they don't come through, if they don't deliver, maybe you got to hit that drop wire to find something better when it comes to Waiver Wire Tuesday. So once again, welcome back to the episode. I have a couple sleepers that I think you guys are going to enjoy. I got some detailed statistics and information on these guys to go ahead and, you know, just show you my reason why. I'm going to show my work. But the first guy I wanted to talk about is he's a guy who plays a position that I have not covered a lot of this year in this year's series. Most days and most episodes, I spend a lot of time on wide receivers and running backs. I want to switch it up a little bit. Some of you guys have let me know, like, hey, love what you can do with receivers and running backs, but at quarterback and tight end, it's kind of tough. It's not the greatest market right now. Ja, can you help me? And you know what? I think I got a couple guys who might be able to come and save the day. So not going to wait off any longer. I want to get into my first sleeper for this week, and that guy is Jonnu Smith, tight end for the Miami Dolphins. Jonnu Smith had a pretty good day last Sunday in the game with Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley is a starting quarterback for the Dolphins for the time being while Tua recovers from that concussion. Now, Jonnu Smith is a really interesting prospect, mostly because he's kind of floated around a few different teams. He was with New England, he was with Atlanta, and everywhere he went, he would have a couple games a year that kind of made you pay more attention to him. He would have a couple games a year where he would kind of pop out. So last week, he had 8 targets. He caught 5 of those targets. He had north of 50 yards. He had a really great day and a pretty productive day as far as tight ends go. We know tight ends don't score the most points. This week, Jonnu Smith, Tyler Huntley, and the Miami Dolphins face off against the Indianapolis Colts. And the Colts have struggled against tight ends this year. This year, the Colts are averaging about 6.5 receptions, and they are averaging 70 yards per game to the tight end position. They're averaging 6.5 receptions and 70 yards per game to the tight end position. This suggests that Jonnu Smith could potentially exploit this weakness. Tyler Huntley is a pretty efficient quarterback. The dude went to a Pro Bowl. He was a great backup for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And his yards per attempts and his completion percentage are on par with the rest of the league. So he can get the job done. Right now, Las Vegas has the Colts favored as 3.5-point favorites. They are 3.5-point favorites. We talked about this last episode, y'all, but when Vegas favors a team by 3.5 points, they're basically saying that this team is likely to win by more than a field goal. That's as favorable as it gets, right? That 3.5 number for me, when it comes to Vegas odds, is pretty important. Vegas expects the Colts to win by more than a field goal, and if the Colts are leading in this game against the Dolphins and Jonnu Smith and Tyler Huntley and Jonnu Smith are going to have to get busy. They're going to have to toss the ball up a little bit more. So I like Jonnu Smith this week. He's coming off a great game last week. I think that trend continues. We'll wait to see how he looks when Tua steps back into the fold. But for this week with Huntley, with Jonnu, I think they reconnect on that. I think they reconnect there. And they play the Colts defense. The Colts defense is not good against tight ends, so this is a pretty easy matchup to exploit. A great man by the name of Albert Einstein once said, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you got to keep moving. Fun fact about Albert Einstein was that he could not speak until he was 4 years old, and he couldn't read until he was seven. Funny enough, he went on to win a Nobel Prize just for all of his great work he did with physics, and he did some shit with like the photoelectric effect. The reason Albert Einstein quote is, you know, I guess relevant to today's conversation, I want to talk about a guy who is rising from the ashes and may step into a pretty premium role for fantasy football and just for football in general. He's a guy who's a third round pick. He stands at 6'3", 225 pounds, I want to say. The new X receiver for Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. I'm talking about Cedric Tillman. Cedric Tillman is now stepping in as the X receiver for the Browns due to the trade with Amari Cooper going to Buffalo. Tillman was the 74th overall pick by the Browns in 2023. His profile looks like one of an X receiver. In college, he went to Tennessee, had over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns in his last season. And he's stepping into, listen, I know Amari Cooper and Deshaun Watson didn't work. I know it didn't look the greatest. But historically, over the course of Deshaun Watson's career, his X receivers get work. They get busy. Historically, if you look at DeAndre Hopkins, if you look at Will Fuller when he was the top dog for a few weeks, whenever D-Hop would get hurt, when you look at Amari Cooper when he served as Deshaun Watson's X, Deshaun Watson's X receivers typically see about 8 to 10 targets a game. They average about 5 to 6 catches per game. And Deshaun Watson's X receivers usually gain somewhere between 70 to 90 yards a game. Right? Now, understanding his X receivers, and I'm not talking about former receivers. Well, I guess they are former. But I'm talking about the guys who play the X role in wide receiver sets. They do well, and Deshaun Watson targets them often, and Cedric Tillman is now stepping into those targets that Amari Cooper has left available. Now, Cedric Tillman, he's a big dude. A lazy comparison for Cedric Tillman would to compare him to somebody like a Courtland Sutton, right? He's a bigger dude who moves pretty well. He's going to do extremely well with curl routes, with jump balls. He can probably hit a slant. Those are pretty easy routes. He's going to be great for those in-breaking routes, which I think the Cleveland Browns are really in need of, right? Kevin Stefanski, he is the coach of the Cleveland Browns, and he kind of runs the offense. Kevin Stefanski's offensive scheme is primarily a wide zone running game with multiple tight end sets. So it's a zone offense with a bunch of tight ends in there. So you might see Harrison Bryant. You might see David Njoku. They're blockers first and foremost, but they can come out of formations and, you know, flank out or go wide for a catch. So Stefanski's system emphasizes a decent amount of balance, I guess, for lack of a better term, right? They run the ball. They run the ball early and often, and then they utilize that play action typically to a David Njoku or whoever the X receiver is to create big plays. When it comes to the offensive passing game that Deshaun Watson is trying to execute, it's focused on short, quick passes. So when you think of the receivers, you think of guys like Jerry Jeudy. He's great for short, quick passes. He's great off the line of scrimmage, and he's good at running routes. Elijah Moore does not get a lot of depth of target, right? So Elijah Moore is a guy who also works well with the short and quick passes. The purpose of Stefanski running those type of pass plays is similar to what Belichick and Brady did in New England. But it's an extension of the run game. It's a way to move the chains and control the game tempo. Cedric Tillman is probably going to fit really well into this offense because he is such a large presence. But even outside of that, I believe that with Amari Cooper, they tried to do a little too much because it's Amari Cooper and they were paying him big money, so they almost forced it to him. I think Cedric Tillman's going to come into this game. And funny enough, I actually think Deshaun Watson might play better the rest of the season. I think there's going to be a little bit less emphasis on forcing the ball to Cooper. Deshaun Watson threw a lot of bad passes to Cooper, which is why Coop would get 10 targets a game and only have 4 to 5 catches. I think the opposite is going to happen for Cedric. I think Cedric's going to get the ball when he needs to get the ball. And because of that, he's going to naturally grow confidence. If the offense starts to improve, he's going to be, you know, a contributor to that. And I like Cedric Tillman a lot. I think he's someone that if he's not on your team already, if for any reason he is available right now, go ahead and pick him up. If dude has a mediocre game this weekend on Sunday, he's still going to be a hot waiver wire commodity next week. He's almost going to guaranteed to damn near be a waiver wire commodity next week. So if you have an inkling, if you have an ounce of faith in Cedric Tillman and you have the bench space, go ahead and pick him up. Next week, his market value is going to increase even if he has 4 catches for 40 yards, right? He's going to come back to a lot of people's memory and he's going to be a popular waiver wire target next week. Go ahead and get him right now. You can get him for a lot cheaper. All right, and now we got Amari Cooper, who I want to talk about. I don't even know if he's a sleeper, but he's on a new team with a new quarterback, and it's such big news that I really want to spend a couple minutes covering it. We just got done talking about Cedric Tillman and the void that he's going to fill now that Amari Cooper is no longer in Cleveland. I want to talk about Amari Cooper's fit in Buffalo. And you know what? I'm also going to talk about Davante Adams after this. But Amari Cooper is going into a really, really, really good situation in Buffalo for not only his NFL career, but I think his fantasy career is about to pop off. Ladies and gentlemen, Amari Cooper is going to the best quarterback that he has ever played with. Amari's played with Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, and Derek Carr. Josh Allen is better than all three of those dudes. Amari Cooper historically over the past 4 years has about a 63% catch rate, right? That's a pretty healthy number. He has had some struggles with drops the last few weeks, but I think it's fair to say that we don't know if Deshaun Watson is all there. We don't know that yet. I know I just predicted Cedric Tillman to be decent, and we might see some progression from Deshaun Watson, but the last few weeks ain't been it. Amari Cooper has a big playability that I think we're all familiar with. While some of us call him the pooper scooper, some of us don't really believe in what he can do some weeks. We know he's not consistent. When he has a big game, he has big games. He's a great route runner. He's kind of deceptively fast. But I think the biggest point that no one else is talking about Amari Cooper in Buffalo is he's going to a spread offense. And we spend a lot of time on the show breaking down offensive schemes. I've explained what a West Coast offense is more times than I can probably count. The benefit of a spread offense, however, fits Amari Cooper perfectly, and I'm going to explain why. In a spread offense, as it sounds, you have a bunch of receivers spread across the field, right? Now, the reason that is significant for someone like Amari Cooper, who runs routes the way he runs routes, is Amari Cooper is about to see a lot more man coverage. On spread offenses, defenses can't stack the box. If you put 8 into the box and you have 4 receivers spread out wide, you're giving a free release and a free route up to one of the receivers, and they're just going to dink and dunk you all the way to the end zone. So when an offense like the Bills play spread offenses a lot, the defense is almost forced to play in dime and quarter packages. If y'all play Madden, y'all know that dime and quarter packages are a bunch of cornerbacks. It's a bunch of defensive backs on the field. And if you don't want to get burned, you got to put at least one DB on a receiver. At worst, put an outside linebacker somewhere out there on like a stretch wide tight end or whoever's running like the inside routes. Amari Cooper is going to benefit from running a spread offense because he's going to get a lot of one-on-one coverages as defenses and their defensive backs are spread thin. Buffalo has other guys like Khalil Shakir, like Keon Coleman, like Dalton Kincaid, like Curtis Samuel, James Cook out of the backfield, Dawson Knox. They have a lot of guys who can catch the ball, so they're going to be spread out. And Amari Cooper, with a relatively healthy catch rate, I know it wasn't great in Cleveland in the last few weeks, but historically it's pretty decent. He's going to be put in a lot of one-on-one situations, and with his ability to release, with his ability to get off the line of scrimmage, and also with Josh Allen's propensity to throw the ball deep, Amari Cooper might not only see his average depth of target increase, but he's going to probably burn a lot of DBs, and Josh Allen ain't scared to throw a ball up high and hope you come down with it. Right now, Josh Allen is averaging about a 45% completion rate on throws over 20 yards. Josh Allen's averaging a completion rate of nearly 50% on throws he attempts that are 20 yards or longer. Josh Allen is also mobile, which means he can get out of the pocket, which means plays can break down, which means Amari Cooper is going to be playing a lot more backyard street football with his deceptive routes and his veteran expertise to know where to be when the receivers or when the quarterback's running around. Amari Cooper had just not the greatest year so far. A lot of people were talking about dropping him, and hopefully if you had him, you kept him. He's going to probably go ahead and be a low-end wide receiver one for me rest of the season. I think that he likely won't play this week. However, if he does continue to just practice, get better, I think that he has the ability to finish this year as a top 15 receiver, even if he is currently wide receiver 39. There's a lot of progression coming. I think he's going to be due soon. So there's this old story about three men who were stranded on a desert island. I'm going to tell it to you. So three men were stranded on a desert island. They had been there for many years, and they had become good friends. One day, a lamp washed up on the shore, and out popped a genie. And the genie looked at him and decided to grant each of them just one wish. Without hesitation, the first man damn near screamed, "I wish I was back home with my family!" Poof. The first man disappeared, and he was reunited with his wife and kids. The second man had no family, but he knew exactly what he wanted. "I wish I was home." Poof. The second man was sent back home. Now, there was a third man who had no family or home, and he was struggling to think of a good wish. A beautiful woman would be nice, but she would probably hate him for stranding her on an island. He could maybe wish for a mansion. He didn't have a home, but then he would be stuck on this island. So he began racking his brain just for the perfect wish. A loophole for more wishes, maybe. Or maybe he can ask the genie for everlasting life. The ability to fly. And the genie eventually got impatient. And he was like, "Bruh, make a fucking wish." And the third man said, "Damn it. I wish my friends were here to help me decide." The reason I tell that story is because it reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. He wished for a new team. He ends up on the Jets. He wishes for maybe a little bit more control in the organization. The Jets grant that to him. And 6 games into the season, the Jets are 2-4. His third wish, "I wish my friends were here to help me decide," came true. Not only did he have Alan Lazard, but as of a few days ago, he now has Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams on the New York Jets caused a lot of disarray on the timeline, right? We know how good Devontae Adams is. He's a great route runner. He's good at double moves. He's one of the best receivers off the line of scrimmage we have ever seen. They call his release patterns genius, right? The best offensive scheme for Devontae Adams, because he runs so many great routes, especially in breaking routes, I would say it's a West Coast offense, right? So one receiver goes deep, couple receivers run inside routes. The receiver that goes deep opens up the field for those inside routes. A West Coast offense or a spread offense, because similar to Amari Cooper, Devontae Adams runs great routes. In a spread offense, you get a lot of one-on-one coverage, and that would really benefit him. I think we're going to see more of the same in New York. New York, historically, with Nat Hackett over the course of this year, and I know they have a new offensive coordinator, but hear me out. This year, the Jets run a lot of West Coast. That's what their offensive system is founded in. That's the foundation of their offense, is a West Coast offense. He's going to fit perfectly in there as an X receiver. Now that they have Devontae Adams, and they also have Garrett Wilson, and they also have Alan Lazard, they have Mike Williams, Malachi Corley, Tyler Conklin, right? They can put Breece Hall out wide sometimes. I think we're going to see some spread offense from the Jets. I don't think they're in the market of trading Mike Williams, who's on a one-year deal. If he's not good or if he can't get it done, he's just got to ride the bench. But you're not going to be able to trade him. He doesn't have a contract going into next year. No team has given up picks for that. This New York Jets scheme is actually perfect for Devontae Adams and what he wants to do, because he has a quarterback who knows him, that has great chemistry, and throws an accurate ball. Davante Adams is going to be across the field from Garrett Wilson, so this will be the least amount of pressure that he's had on any respective team his entire career. Maybe you can go back to the early Packer days with Jordy and James Jones and those dudes, but at this stage of his career as a 31-year-old receiver, well-paid receiver at that, this is probably as good as it gets. Having Garrett Wilson, who leads the NFL in targets this year, as your number two option. So, some numbers with Rodgers and Devontae. We know how good Devontae was in fantasy. Over Devontae's career with Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers is responsible for helping Devontae achieve over 7,500 receiving yards. Aaron Rodgers and Devontae have connected on 622 receptions. Haha! And 69 touchdowns. His catch rate, his yards per reception are amongst the highest in the league when he is paired with Devontae or when he's paired with Aaron Rodgers. And my projection is that Devontae is an even better wide receiver one. He's a top five wide receiver, top six wide receiver moving forward. It might take a week or so to kind of adjust. I want to put it out there that I don't fully know how they'll use Garrett Wilson and how they'll use Alan Lazard. If I had to guesstimate, I'm going to say that Garrett Wilson's going to become like a pimped out version of Devontae Smith, right? You know how Devontae Smith got A.J. Brown when Devontae was a first round receiver and A.J. Brown came to town and took over the targets, and Devontae was still good, but he wasn't wide receiver one good. I think we see more of that with Garrett Wilson. I think Devontae comes in for the next couple of years, holds it down as the primary X receiver. He's going to get the big boy routes. He's going to get the red zone targets. And Garrett Wilson will benefit when he's open. Right. One thing about Garrett Wilson is that he's still young and he's learning. And if there's any receiver I want him to learn from, it's Davante Adams. Garrett Wilson, during his second contract, which is coming up in the next year or so, could easily be the best receiver in the NFL. I think this is better for his long term projections as an NFL receiver. But short term, yeah, he's going to have to lose some targets. Alan Lazard isn't droppable, but I'm probably going to be benching him. I think he's still going to be the primary red zone target. Him coming down with that Hail Mary put him in the good graces with Rodgers. I think Lazard has been one of the most productive receivers this year, and that just doesn't go away overnight. Not for receivers. Maybe for running backs, because there's typically only one running back on the field. But with receivers, Lazard is Lazard. He's going to continue getting targets from Rodgers, who trusts him. And if he's the third option and Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams are the focal point, Rodgers throws to the open man. Right, he does force some balls to Devontae. I don't think he's going to force so many balls to Garrett, but Lazard's going to get some opportunity, and I think Lazard will make the most of those opportunities. In a West Coast offense, I think he's the guy who probably runs deep, him being 6'4". He's a jump ball receiver. I think he's the guy in the West Coast offense that spreads out the defense and forces them to follow him downfield, so that way he can open up routes on the inside for Garrett Wilson and now Davante Adams. All right, and my final sleeper of the week is Daniel Jones, quarterback for the New York Giants. This week, Daniel Jones gets the Philadelphia Eagles. It looks like Malik Nabers is out of concussion protocol. He has cleared concussion protocol, and that's going to be great for Daniel Jones's passing numbers. When we talk about the Eagles defense, it's an interesting defense. The Eagles run something called a multiple front defense. Their defensive coordinator is Sean Desai. And what a multiple front defense, it's what it sounds like. They play 3-4 and they also play 4-3. It switches on the situation. So they play multiple fronts. Now, the thing about a multiple front defense is you need to have smart defensive players in a defense like that, because their assignments are all over the place and the gaps look different on each play. So you need to have very strong gap discipline as a defensive lineman. The one thing that could fuck up a multiple front defense, the one thing that would maybe be a headache, is a quarterback who can extend plays with his legs. Right now, the Eagles have averaged about 177 passing yards per game, which puts them in the bottom half of the league, funny enough. That does suggest that Jones could maybe take care of that secondary, especially with Malik Nabers back in the fold. We know how good Malik is. He's one of the league leaders in receptions as a rookie. But also his legs. The fact that he can roll out of the pocket and run around is going to make it hard for defensive linemen to stay just disciplined with their gap assignments. They're always going to be on edge if, you know, you can go ahead and scheme Daniel Jones to roll out on a couple plays early in the game. I think Brian Daboll is a really smart coach who normally emphasizes short, quick pass plays. He incorporates a little bit of play action, which I think will help Jones manage the game tempo. And usually it's meant to do so it can kind of keep you off balance. But I think Brian Daboll is smart, and he's going to have Daniel Jones running early and often against this Eagles defense. The Eagles are prone to the pass attack. The Giants, funny enough, we've been talking about spread concepts all night. But yeah, the Giants run some spread. Wan'Dale Robinson, Darius Slayton, Malik Nabers, Jalin Hyatt, those guys spread out early and often. Right now, I think Daniel Jones is good for probably a little north of 200 passing yards this week. I'm going to give him 2 touchdowns. I don't know if he'll get one on the ground, but I got him good for about 2 touchdowns. And I'm going to throw in a turnover just because Daniel Jones does turn the ball over. But hey, if he has, let's say, 220 yards, right? In most fantasy leagues, that's about 8 or 9 points. If he has 2 touchdowns, let's say you play with 6-point passing touchdowns, 220 yards. 2 touchdowns would equate to about 20 points. You get 8 to 9 points for the 220 passing yards, and you get 12 points from 2 touchdowns. 12 plus 8 is 20. If he throws a pick, minus 2, now he's at about 18 yards or 18 fantasy points this week. The rushing yards is where he could get a boost, and that could be the X factor. But I love Daniel Jones this week as a sleeper candidate at quarterback if you need it, right? We just talked about, hey, the Eagles aren't great against the pass. He got Malik Nabers back. Malik Nabers, you can damn near bet him for a touchdown any week. And if he can get one more, that's 2 touchdowns. 220 through the air, 2 touchdowns, an interception, and maybe 30 to 40 yards on the ground. That's a really good fantasy day. And if you're streaming him this week, it's probably because your starting quarterback is on bye. Maybe it's Caleb Williams and he's on bye. Hey, dog, if you get 18 to 20 points out of your streamer option at quarterback, we did our job. I'd say go pick up Daniel Jones and feel confident starting him if you need a spot start for week 7. All right, and let's talk about drop candidates. So we are now in the second half of the show. We're going to talk about guys who should be dropped off your roster if you're still rostering them. We'll give them one more week. We'll see how they do on Sunday, and if they don't deliver, they got to go. First guy we're going to talk about, Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley has been extremely disappointing this year. He's averaging about 7 fantasy points a game. He has 1 touchdown on the season. He has 9 catches on the season for 141 yards. We're going into week 7. That's really bad. Calvin Ridley last week was targeted 8 times, but did not catch a single pass. He was pissed off in the press conference afterwards. He talked about not getting enough early game looks and opportunities, which seems to be kind of like a recurring theme this season. The only contribution he had last week was like a run play. It was like a sweep. It was like a carry or end around carry. He got 9 yards on that. And Will Levis also struggled. I mean, Will Levis threw for 95 yards, and he also threw another pick. That's his 5th consecutive pick in a row in terms of games played. But there's just a lack of chemistry between Levis and Ridley. If I had to guesstimate, it's because, you know, Ridley's a 3-level receiver. He's pretty precise in his routes. And Levis is a gunslinger. He's not exactly overly accurate. He just has a really strong arm. Those two things don't typically mesh. The reason Ridley did so well with Matt Ryan is because Matt Ryan can throw a dot. The reason Ridley did kind of well with Trevor Lawrence is because 60 to 70% of the time, Trevor Lawrence can throw a dot. I don't know if Will Levis is throwing dots like those guys were. Ridley has been struggling. I think it's pretty evident. And they signed him to big money, so I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's a trade candidate. If you got Ridley this year, I don't see it getting much better, especially if the Titans keep going downwards with Will Levis. He might be droppable if he doesn't make it up this week. Next drop candidate we got is going to be a running back who plays down in Florida. Prayers for everybody going through the troubles, you know, with the hurricane last week. I hope you and your families are doing well. But I do have a drop candidate from your zip code. Rashad White might have to be released off your team sooner than later. He's been struggling this year. It's been pretty nasty. And just for reference, last week, I think, might have been the nail in the coffin. For reference, last week, Sean Tucker had a huge game. He ended the week as RB1 in fantasy football. Sean Tucker had 136 yards on 14 carries. And Sean Tucker also had 56 yards through the air on 3 receptions. To follow him up, Bucky Irvin also had a good game. Bucky had 81 yards on 14 carries and 24 yards on 2 receptions. Both had pretty good games. Sean Tucker averaged 9.7 yards per carry. Bucky Irving averaged 5.6 yards per carry, both really great metrics. Rashad White averaged 3.4 yards per carry. Rashad White was the least efficient running back of the trio. White had 23 yards on 15 rush attempts. 15 is more than Bucky or Sean Tucker got individually. He had 23 yards with more carries than both those dudes. And in the reception game, he had 2 receptions, so he was on par with Bucky, 1 shy of Sean Tucker, and he only had 9 yards. Also, no touchdowns. He has been extremely inefficient this year. It's kind of been kept under the radar because Baker Mayfield and that passing game has been lighting it up for the Buccaneers. But Rashad White hasn't been good. He cost you maybe a third round pick or so. And now you got guys like Sean Tucker who were late draft picks. You got Bucky Irving who's a young rookie coming in who had a lot of promise. Todd Bowles is talking about they're going to go with the hot hand. Dog, I don't think Rashad White is better than Bucky Irving. And I don't know if the Sean Tucker game was a fluke. We'll have to see more. But for right now, man, I'm offloading him for whatever somebody's willing to offer me. I'm at that point because he'll be droppable within the next week or two if things don't get better. So if somebody's offering you any sort of a deal with Rashad White where you get any type of value, even if it's a bunch of fab and maybe a tight end 2 or a wide receiver 3 or whatever the case may be, dog, you have to take that into more serious of a consideration after seeing the game that Sean Tucker, an unexpected third option, was able to do. Rashad White was clearly the third best running back in his own backfield that he was supposed to have to himself. It's getting bad. He's kind of in the Travis Etienne bucket. Dalton Schultz is struggling. I don't know what's going on. Nico Collins is not a part of the team right now. He is on IR, and Dalton Schultz is still struggling. My only reason why I have not dropped him off of all of my teams yet is because of the Nico injury. They need a big body in the red zone. They got Stephon Diggs, and they got Tank Dell at receiver. Brevin Jordan's on IR. Maybe Schultz gets a touch in the red zone, but it's bad, bro. It's really bad. Give it one more week. See if he gets into the end zone. If he does, milk it. Put him in a trade package. Get him off your team. Send him far away. He's someone I'd have little to no faith in rest of the season, but I got my heart tells me to give it another week just to see if he can get to the end zone. Maybe he has a random sporadic pop-off game, his one of the season, and then you can milk it and put him in a trade package to go get a better tight end, ideally. Justin Herbert, I kind of feel bad for. He came into the league with Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett, all these guys. And he's kind of been left high and dry. Austin Eckler's gone. Keenan Allen's gone. Gerald Everett's gone. Mike Williams is gone. He's stuck with Jim Harbaugh, Ladd McConkey, and Quentin Johnston. That's tough. Right now, he's about quarterback 20. I really don't see that getting much better. The only way it could get somewhat better is if Ladd McConkey takes a huge step forward, becomes a PPR Cooper Kupp type of machine, where he gets, 20 targets a game. That would really help Justin Herbert's numbers, but I don't see that happening. DJ Chark is supposed to return soon. He's probably the closest thing to a deep threat for the Chargers. So I do see Justin Herbert taking a small step forward because he'll have a deep threat to open up the field. Quentin Johnson is somewhat like that, but he's not always reliable with sideline catches. So, yeah, DJ Chark is going to help more than he'll hurt. We'll see what happens, but I think Justin Herbert's in drop territory. But y'all know the rule. Give it a week just in case. If you don't see much on Sunday when it comes to waiver wire Tuesday or Wednesday, you know what to do. The last guy I want to talk about, he don't normally fall into like bust category, or he don't normally fall into, you know, quote unquote being droppable. Like, he has talent, and when given the opportunity, he's great. Zach Charbonnet is the backup running back for the Seattle Seahawks, and earlier in the season, he was on a roll. He was a top 10, top 12, top 15 running back. Kenneth Walker has been back, and Kenneth Walker has been running like one of the best running backs in the NFL. I want to say he's top 5 in running back efficiency. Zach Charbonnet is an interesting player because he's like the Alan Lazard of running backs. He ranks really high in fantasy rankings. He has a lot of points that he's put up this season, but you never really know when it's going to come, and it feels unpredictable, right? It feels like too good of a dream, and you're going to have to wake up soon. Zach Charbonnet put up points. He used to catch the ball a lot, run the rock, score touchdowns, but now that Kenneth Walker is back, he doesn't get the goal line carries or as many as I'd like for him to get. He doesn't get the involvement on the ground or in the rush game, and the last few weeks have been lackluster. He's averaging like 4 to 6 fantasy points a week. It's getting to a point to where, obviously, if Kenneth Walker gets hurt, hey, you can put in Charbonnet and feel good about it. But if you're in a tough spot, if you have a lot of buys, if you are in a position where maybe you got to drop somebody, hey, dog, I ain't all the way mad at you if you get rid of Zach Charbonnet. I'm not all the way mad at you. Someone's going to pick him up, and he's going to go on the waiver wire, and he'll be on someone's team by the following week. And like I said, if Ken Walker goes down, his stock could go through the roof. So don't take this as the typical drop candidate, but I'm just saying, in case of emergency, he's somebody that you could maybe look at releasing off your team for a week, if that. Especially if you're playing like a 10-team league, you got options. 8-team leagues, you got options. Something to think about. I know his numbers are really high. He's in a similar category to Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard is a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, but with Devontae coming in, I think more than half of us probably think that he's going to be disposable. It's almost like the same thing with Charbonnet now that Ken Walker's back. Maybe Zach Charbonnet is somebody that, if in case of an emergency, maybe you let go. Those are my thoughts on all of the sleepers, all of the drops for this week. So please do me a favor and follow and subscribe if you have made it this far into the episode. I hope I helped you in some kind of way. But until we meet again, good luck this week. You got this. Don't overthink your lineup, and don't make last minute lineup decisions. Meaning, don't make last minute lineup sits. If you got Justin Jefferson in there, don't try to take him out and throw in Chris Godwin because you got a good feeling. Don't try to throw in fucking Quentin Johnston because you think Quentin Johnston might get into the end zone this week, right? Don't be alarmed if you got played by Javonte Williams, who went for 2 touchdowns on Thursday Night Football. But set your strategy, set your lineup Friday or Saturday, do your research, do it when you're most level-headed, and ride that lineup into the week. Ride that lineup into Sunday, and 9 times out of 10, it'll be the better decision. Until we meet again, my name is Ja. Peace.